Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Manage the Wild. I'm your host, Nick Madsen. Recently attended a mule deer meeting where research professors, as well as some PhD candidates, were able to share their research that they were currently working on. Some of it they haven't finished, others it has finished. But they were talking about in this meeting about how different management strategies and the different things and how they affect mule deer population, trying to help these committees understand why some states are managing animals the way they are versus other states. It was really interesting. Talked about precipitation, how important precipitation is, especially here in the Intermountain West. We've been going through some droughts lately. We had a really awesome spring last year, pulled us a little bit out of that drought, but for the 10 years previous, we'd experienced multiple droughts in a row. That's really hard on mule deer. Those really hot temperatures with not a lot of moisture. 10 centimeters of precipitation will equal roughly 2% increase in body fat. So for every 10 centimeters of moisture they get, especially in the monsoon season, late August time period, as soon as they start getting that monsoon rain, then things will green up and they're able to put on a little bit more fat. And when we don't get that, that's when you start to have animals struggle in the wintertime. It really creates a problem for them. And so 10% or 10 centimeters of precipitation, that little bump is nice for these deer. The other thing they talked about is mortality. What's killing the deer? Listed everything imaginable. Badger holes, fences, river crossings, all these things can kill deer. One thing they talked about is mule deer fawns are susceptible to heat. And so if they are born in areas that are really hot, they don't do as well. Fawns can be born on some snow and they'll do just fine after they have the ability to stand. But fawns born in the heat, when they are dropped, they just don't do as well in that heat. They're not able to escape it, and then they overheat and die. Another one they focused on for mortality was cougar mortality. They were looking at populations that the question that you face is, how much are predators causing populations to decrease? One thing they found out is when a mule deer population is being targeted between 7-9% by cougars, then they see an overall population decline. And they didn't really elaborate. They did go into it a little bit. And what I believe is the reason is cougars are not just targeting like the fawns or the old, they are targeting everything. So you're losing some of your healthy animals, your healthy does that are your just prime production does. Cougars can target them as well as fawns. So in coyotes, you'll see a lot of fawn mortality, and you'll see an increase as well as mature, like the really old, the granny does. You'll see them target them as well as they become weaker and weaker. So you have a really high, and then it drops off for prime age, and then it starts to pick back up once it gets to those older does. But on cougars, it's just straight across the board. They are targeting fawns, yearlings, adults, and the old and the sick. And so when they start to see an increase in that targeting, whether between 7-9%, talked about a population in Utah that was experiencing double-digit percentages of being targeted, and their population was really declining. And it was one of the things, key factors, was cougar predation. There was a cougar that they did talk about, just a single cougar that they had collared, that they watched, and they tracked all of its kills based upon the collar data and how many times it kept returning to different locations. Then they would go up and verify. But this one cougar between June and August killed a fawn every other day. It doesn't mean that all cougars are doing it, but it does mean that this one did, which is really interesting. If they are targeting fawns that often, that could have a detrimental effect. The other thing that was interesting is when fawns are born, let's say fawns are born on June 1st or before that, they are more likely to survive predator events than if they are born after. And there's a lag effect. It's like the professor who was talking talked about how coyotes are going across the landscape and they're not really realizing that fawns are being dropped when they are. And all of a sudden they'll come across a fawn and they immediately start switching and they start targeting and hunting fawns. So it's roughly 8-day window that you have to drop all of your fawns. And after that 8 days, then they really, their survivability basically really drops on that. Then in this committee meeting, they talked about buck to doe ratios. Oftentimes, people want more bucks on the landscape, more opportunity, and more opportunity for bigger bucks. And so they really want to focus that. So oftentimes you'll get people saying that the population has declined. If you look at what it was in the 80s or the 70s, and the division doesn't know what they're doing now. And what they're really talking about is we need to bring back our healthy herds. What they actually want is they want larger, more mature bucks. And that's what they're looking for, not necessarily to grow a population. But the professor talked about how the buck-to-doe ratio, that optimal buck-to-doe ratio rate, is somewhere around 14 bucks for every 100 does. Some of the prime units here in Utah, you are looking at units that are carrying about 30 to 35 bucks per every 100 does. So you're going to have really quality prime age, but what you're doing is you are trading bucks for fawns. So if you grow that buck to doe ratio to, or you increase it, then you're going to have a decrease in fawns, basically mouths on the landscape. And so if you actually wanted to grow your population, not grow the maturity and focus on the antlers, but you wanted to grow the overall population, what you would want to do is reduce your buck to doe ratio below 20, somewhere around that 14 bucks for every 100 does. But you could go as low as 9, and if you're somewhere around that 12 mark, and it depends on each location because each one is going to be different, but your lambda or your ability to increase your population really takes off when you are somewhere around 12 to 13 bucks for every 100 does. A lot of people disagreed with that, and when they disagreed with it, the professor came out, clarified, and what they found out is people were not looking. When you want to talk about increase your population, most people are focused on bucks, and they don't really care about the does and the fawns. And so it's important for hunters and those who are involved in the outdoors to understand how these things are measured and how they can impact. So if you are decreasing the number of bucks per does, you're going to offer less a hunting opportunity and you're going to have a lot more younger animals. But if you do have a unit, this is what's really interesting. If you have a unit that keeps crashing, one of the possibilities is reduce your buck to doe ratio, bring it down to that 9, 10, 11 bucks for every 100 does, and your population will bounce back quicker. Again, you're trading mouths. So for more bucks, you're going to have less fawns and vice versa. And so it was really just a really interesting conference. It was super enjoyable. They are going to present some research coming up in a meeting in a couple of weeks. And when they do, I'm going to tag it in one of my podcasts just so you guys can hear and listen to the different things that are going on. All right, you guys, have a great day. Stay wild.